Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats, silence your cell phones, for you are now listening to Much Ado About Wrestling!
Welcome, fair listeners, to Much Ado About Wrestling. Little known fact, we used to be a true crime podcast that examined kayfabe murders in pro wrestling. Didn't go so well, so we repackaged ourselves into the program that you know and love today. I'm one half of your scholarly presenters, Andrew Terrence Caberline, and with me, as always, is the Terra Space Rising, Tyler Ward. Tyler, how are you?
Yowie, wowie, Andrew.
Oh,
I am pumped. I'm ready to have a good time. Are you ready to have some fun today, kids?
Oh, God, I'm suddenly very afraid. Good thing I'm not a legend. Otherwise, I would be in trouble.
Yeah, I'd be coming for you.
I feel like we should get out of the way, like, what it means, like, that reference, Terra Space Rising. I feel like that is a really, like, deep cut. Do you want to just explain that?
I was really proud of that one when I wrote that intro. It's Triple H, the game himself, Hunter Hearst Helmsley, before he was Triple H, the guy we know today when he was in WCW, wrestled under the name Terra Rising.
And I'm trying to remember exact. Was he a Killer Kowalski trained guy?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I know it's whoever his trainer was, this like very prolific old school wrestling trainer. It was Killer Kowalski.
Yeah.
Would make up names for his student wrestlers like Triple H, and they were always like one word, like adjectives,
and just really bad apparently.
Yeah. like he's like, you're gonna be terrorizing as your name. And I think the story goes that Triple H was like, can I just have like a real person's name, like Paul, like Paul Jones, and to remedy that, Killer Kowalski went, okay, and then just drew a line in between Terra and Rising. And like, okay, your name is Terra Rising. Yeah. So that was an early repackage, I guess prepackage for Triple
H. One of those
H.
notorious, like, just really bad gimmicks.
Yeah. I would love to see him break it out, though, again.
Oh, he never would, man.
No. I think any, like, physical evidence we had of him wrestling as Terra Rising,
I don't even know if
gone.
You could find that on the network.
No, I think that's probably gone. There's been a lot that's gone on in the last 2 weeks since our last episode. SummerSlam came and went.
Yep.
It was a really good show, actually. We talked about this. And then suddenly the King of the Ring is back.
It's out of nowhere. Yeah.
Have you been happy with the King of the Ring so far? The King of the Ring Redux?
I'm happy with it so far. We're still really early. We're still we're gonna finish the first round tonight on SmackDown.
Yeah, you all listening right now in the future probably already know who has won the Ali and Buddy Murphy match and the Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin match, but we do not. So.
Not yet. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I like it so far. We're still very early. Honestly, I was really pumped for the roster showing who was in the tournament. It just seemed it felt like a very fresh group of guys. Like there's no Randy Orton, Roman Reigns, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it felt very fresh, and I have a lot of hopes for it. I'm still very, apprehensive on that Baron Corbin train. But
I will say that, like, looking at that, you're right. This might be the first King of the Ring, and it's been the first one in a while, so new fans will explain to you about King of the Ring in a second. But looking at the 16 competitors, the only two former world champions in WWE in the tournament were The Miz, who was world champion, 8 years ago now?
A long time.
And then Kevin Owens, who won his title by default and wasn't booked very strong when he was the champion. So it really is like a field of people who are all looking to break out, and that's really exciting.
Which is great. It's very hopeful, but it also worries me that, like, maybe this is WWE's way of, kind of relegating the King of the Ring tournament to a mid-card status of Well, what? None of our top guys are in the tournament, so it's okay.
I guess so, but that's better than its previous status of being dead.
Yeah. I mean, heck, the last King of the Ring was Wade Barrett? Yeah.
Bad News Barrett to you.
Oh, yes, excuse me.
The king. You're right, though, the king, because it is tradition that you more often than not, when people win the King of the Ring, they usually adopt some kind of royalty to their gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
Who sticks out to you as people who did that?
Oh, come on, man. It's King Booker!
The namesake person that you quote at the end of each episode. Yeah, King Booker, who maybe has the worst English accent of anyone ever in wrestling, really leaned into it.
He really did. It was super entertaining. Because I remember, like, that must have been, geez, when I was like a teenager or something.
Mm-hmm. But 2006.
I wasn't a huge fan of it in the moment. But in looking back in retrospect, oh, that was wonderful.
You also got the Macho King, that phase of Randy Macho Man that people remember when he's wearing a crown as well. The King of the Ring winner, historically looking at all of them, they've either been people who then go on to great things and this is kind of their springboard, or it's people who are given the limelight and then like crash and fail spectacularly.
Like Wade Barrett.
I was going to say like Mabel.
Oh, wow.
King Mabel. But it really worked for Bret Hart, for Owen Hart, for Triple H. It didn't really work for Ken Shamrock or Billy Gunn. Definitely worked for Kurt Angle and Edge and Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
But yeah, you mentioned Stone Cold. Maybe the most important moment of Stone Cold's like rise to stardom happens at King of the Ring. And that is the Austin 3:16 speech.
Yep.
Which everyone should go back and watch. Actually, it makes me sad that King of the Ring as a pay-per-view doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite pay-per-views. Because back when it was a pay-per-view, the tournament happened in one night rather than spread out over weeks like it has been.
Yeah. Or then you'd have like the final four on the pay-per-view as well.
But a lot of, you can lead up to it.
A lot of the most important, like, replayable moments of WWE have happened during the King of the Ring pay-per-view, so it's sad that it doesn't exist. You got Austin 3:16, you've got the Mankind Undertaker Hell in a Cell match, which is probably maybe the most watched match from the Attitude Era.
Yeah,
is that fair to say?
That's definitely fair.
And then you've also got, maybe not as heralded, but definitely one of yours and mine's favorite matches ever, and that's Kurt Angle versus Shane McMahon in a street fight.
Oh my God.
At King of the Ring as well.
And that non-gimmicked glass.
Yeah, that glass that just won't break because it's real glass. If you haven't seen any of those moments, get on the network and go back and watch all of those.
Yes. Heck, go on YouTube. You can find them pretty
easy. Yeah, exactly. So looking at the tournament this year, though, we have a real mix of people who have something to prove. We're looking at it. There's only two former world champions in there, The Miz and Kevin Owens, who both haven't held a title in quite a while. Looking at who's left in the tournament, who do you think could benefit the most from winning this?
I think, unfortunately, we already know The Miz has been eliminated by Corbin. Kevin Owens is actually eliminated. But, both world champions were eliminated.
Yeah, now there are zero world champions
left. Zero world champions in. The wrestling fan in me would want to fantasy book it and say that, you know, if you let a guy like Ali win this tournament, like, he's the one who could really shine the most out of it. But honestly, even a guy like Andrade, I think, would do really well. Yeah. The pessimist in me is leaning towards it's probably going to be Baron Corbin.
Yeah, I could see Baron Corbin getting to the finals in this. And if he does, then a face like Ali will probably win coming out of the other bracket. But if Andrade makes it to the end, or Elias makes it to the end for SmackDown, I think that this means that it's Ricochet or Cedric Alexander's tournament to win. Both people that Paul Heyman's been very high on, reportedly, on Raw as of late.
Yeah.
So that has been going on, the King of the Ring tournament.
Mm-hmm.
There's also been some other news. There's been some love news. Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins are engaged.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, out of nowhere, which means that they've both been taking some vacation days. So good for them.
Both of them were not on Raw last night.
Yeah, and I think probably won't be on SmackDown either.
No, I doubt it. It's good for them, though. I'm happy. I know a lot of people were like, whoa, that was quick, but you know, hey.
You know, when you've been engaged before, like Seth Rollins has a few times, I feel like the quickness doesn't really matter at that point.
Yeah.
You're just wasting time.
That's
fair. What other news have we seen? The XFL team names have come out.
Yes, the XFL team names released. I just wanna run through these real quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just so everyone is aware of what to look forward to if they happen to be an XFL team is coming to your hometown. There's the Dallas Renegades.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty standard, not bad. Yeah. The Houston Roughnecks.
Yeah.
Okay. You could go a little better.
That seems like a very wrestling like word.
Yeah, it's a very wrestling thing. They should have just been like the Houston Shooters or something.
That would have been a great name, honestly.
There's the Los Angeles Wildcats, the New York Guardians. Are you gonna be a Guardians fan, Andrew? You gonna get the jersey?
Well, you know what? I would not put it past me to get an XFL jersey and not actually watch an XFL game,
but just to have it, yeah. There is the St. Louis Battle Hawks.
That's my favorite name.
Yeah, see, this is the one we gotta talk about. What is that?
I love that. It's fun because St. Louis and Chicago are the rivals in most sports,
mm-hmm.
and there are the Chicago Blackhawks, and now there will be the St. Louis Battlehawks. I'm curious to see like what kind of confusion that creates.
That
I like the idea
weird.
Of the Seattle Dragons.
Yeah, Seattle Dragons sounds dope. Tampa Bay Vipers. And
Randy
then,
Orton owns that team?
I certainly hope so. He's definitely. You tell me he's not going to be making an appearance or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And then lastly, the DC Defenders. See, I may have to get me a Defenders jersey.
It's going to be sad when the Defenders have like the worst defense in the league and the best offense. It's going to be really
fun. They're going to be an offense-only team. But, I mean, so that's what? It's eight teams.
Mm-hmm.
I assume it's going to be one division where every team plays every team.
Yeah, I think they said it's going to be I can't remember now. Because there was also the AAF last year, the AF.
There
was another pro league that started, and like all the news that I've heard about the two have kind of jumbled together.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's going to be of like a four-team playoff, and like the top two in the East and the top two in the West. So I think they're going to play all the teams in their division
mm-hmm.
twice, and then all the teams in the other division once, and it'll be a 10-game season, I think. Or maybe that's me just trying to look at it logically.
Trying to find some sort of like logistics here.
The real question is, Tyler, which team is eventually going to have Andrew Luck as their starting quarterback?
Oh, that's the battle. That's Battle Hawks all the way, man.
I'm making a sports joke, but I feel like you got it.
That's Battle Hawks all the way.
So that's what's going on in the world of the XFL. Again, mm-hmm. I'm still kind of wondering if it will see the light of day.
Yeah, the only real thing to take away from this news of the XFL is the rumors of Vince McMahon like having to take a real step away from WWE in order to run this.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really the only way that this affects us going forward, but
and
it is fun to talk about.
And it seems like Vince only wants to get more involved with the bombshell news. This is the real news
mm-hmm.
of the week, that NXT is going to be moving to 2 hours long
mm-hmm.
on the USA Network to be direct counter programming to AEW's Wednesday night show.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that is huge. That is huge.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that?
I feel a lot of different ways. I
mm-hmm.
feel like the thing that makes NXT special, or a lot of the things that make NXT special, I don't know that those will survive. Like,
mm-hmm.
I think it being 1 hour forced superstars to not be on each episode, and
mm-hmm.
I think that made it so that we wouldn't get tired of them. And that's going to be, I guess you can still do that with 2 hours
mm-hmm.
of programming, but it's going to be harder.
The 1 hour to 2 hour time slot is, I think, is the least of my worries. Just that in NXT, like, it does have a pretty large roster, and being the fact that they do have just the 1 hour a week, you don't get to see everyone on every episode. Yeah. Not that you should necessarily, but mm-hmm. I think they have a large enough roster that we can start to see a lot more people on more frequently. Yeah.
And they have a sneaky big roster now, actually.
Yeah, they do.
Looking, like, at the list of people. And then when you add in everyone in NXT UK, because, like, who knows, what does that mean for that show?
Yeah. Well, I've heard already rumors that Walter is someone that they're definitely looking to be a player on main mm-hmm. NXT now.
Yeah. Well, and then it's also, like, there's words that maybe, you know, because SmackDown is going to be 3 hours on Fox, that normally touring where they would film 205 Live, that's going to go away, and that won't be a show anymore. And you would imagine that most of the 205 Live wrestlers would fall back into NXT.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But that's also assuming that NXT is still going to be treated as a kind of developmental brand, because mm-hmm. the rumor has been that developmental contracts will be no more.
Yeah, so because that was one
that's
of the
what
major
worries
worries
me the most.
Yes,
yeah.
Is that by turning this into a two-hour cable television program that is now, for all intents and purposes, a third brand, mm-hmm. it is no longer this developmental project that they had intended it to be. So yeah. What are they going to have to create a new NXT that is actually the new developmental brand? Like, are they, because they can't, like, in good conscience be having people who are quote-unquote developmental on a two-hour cable program. Like, that's not good business.
Yeah, it takes away the training purpose mm-hmm. of NXT, but I suppose that the Performance Center is still there, but you won't mm-hmm. have that same kind of live TV experience for everyone. Well, maybe they just continue to do, like, a non-televised thing just
at
Full Sail.
I'm not sure what it's going to be going forward, or even I don't know the date of when NXT is starting on
I think
USA.
It's September 19th, maybe. September. We're the experts. This is why you all listen to the show. Yes. September 18th is
September
when it's
18th.
Starting.
So pretty soon, actually. But I did hear that they plan to do all of their filming and keep airing from Full Sail in Florida, and I think it's partly because it allows the superstars to continue access to the Performance Center. Yeah. But that was one of the major things I was thinking about, is the aesthetic of NXT being shot in that smaller arena in Full Sail is so it's so important to the presentation of NXT to me.
Yeah.
And I honestly would say having it from a large arena like Raw or SmackDown would be a detriment.
Yeah, that would be the worst thing, to make it just the third of the same thing that Raw and SmackDown
exactly,
are.
Exactly, yeah.
And
it needs to feel different, and full being shot at Full Sail is something that helps that.
Yeah, and I think the main criticism of Full Sail tends to be the energy level of the fans, because they usually film four episodes back to back. So I guess in this, it actually can refresh people, and you'll probably see different types of people showing up, because mm-hmm. like it's way harder to show up 4 weeks in a row than to show up once a month, you know, as a fan.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess TBD on that. I'm also excited to see how many people come back down to NXT, because I think that is a thing that will happen.
Yeah, well, because, and then that's the other thing, like, it can it even be considered going down now? Like, you're just, technically, you're
now
going
it's totally
across.
Lateral now.
Yeah, you're going lateral now.
to do the entertainment analogy, I know that it's going to stay on the USA Network, so this is a little more fraught than I want it to be, mm-hmm. but it's like if SmackDown is like 20th Century Fox, mm-hmm. then NXT is going to basically end up being Fox Searchlight. It's going to be like the indie movie prestige critical darling, whereas like the other movie company makes all the money.
Yeah.
Is the idea, I think. Mm-hmm. So NXT is going to go through a bit of a repackaging here.
Yeah, a little
which
bit.
Is the totally natural segue.
Very nice.
to our main segment of today, and it is our word of the day. The word of the day is repackaging. Tyler, do you want to tell us about repackaging in the context of pro wrestling?
Absolutely. Repackaging is basically to give a I looked it up and I wrote like wrestler slash on-screen talent. Mm-hmm. But I mean, when you really break it down to the broad sense there, it's giving any aspect of pro wrestling a new gimmick, a new look.
Yeah.
NXT, it could be going through a repackaging process. It's going to look different, a different presentation, maybe be filmed in a different arena, shot differently, things like that. That's technically repackaging. But the most common thing, the one that we're going to focus on the most, is the repackaging of talent.
Mm-hmm.
This being a wrestler, on-screen talent, like a manager, commentator, something like that.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting though, because we are going to dominate on individuals. I almost want to take a second now and think about repackaging in a broader sense, like you were mentioning, and try to think of examples of. I mean, the NWA Jim Crockett Promotions was repackaged into WCW, and that changed
mm-hmm.
everything for them. It really is the idea of putting a fresh coat of paint to try to attract a new audience mm-hmm. is actually like really the goal of any repackage. I feel like I think about the way that the Raw logo and theme music has changed usually with the like advent of new stars. You know?
Yeah. They repackage the presentation of Monday Night Raw like every couple years.
Yeah. And like the set changes mm-hmm. and like everything changes. And I think without that, the show becomes incredibly stale,
mm-hmm.
but it's nice now to go back and look at older stuff and you can tell you can get your bearings of what time you're in
mm-hmm.
based on, well, this is what the theme music was, and this is what the logos and the match bumpers look like, and all that little accoutrement really does like create a time capsule mm-hmm. for it. So, what are the signs to look for when trying to find a wrestler who is going to be repackaged?
So, most commonly for someone who you can predict is probably going to be getting repackaged is really just the audience reception. How are they responding to them? Most typically, if a wrestler or an on-screen talent just it's not the idea of them getting booed. If you get booed enough, you're doing something right. It's that no like any sort of like emotional response is the problem. So a lot of times wrestlers, they can start to get really stale through no fault of their own. It could be the booking. Their gimmick might just be starting to get stale. It might starting to be outdated, even with like the times of like where society is moving, i.e. Muhammad Hassan or something like that, or Eugene.
Yeah. Oh, Eugene. Eventually we'll do a show on Eugene and we'll have to talk very delicately.
But yeah, so it's you can start to see the signs of when someone is probably going to get repackaged. The most common ones, I think, is the way to initiate the repackaging essentially on television. The mm-hmm. most common way is for a face or a heel turn.
Yeah.
Super easy then if you say you have like this super like clean cut baby face and then he's getting stale, so you're gonna want to repackage him. So all right, cool, let's have a heel turn. So we're gonna like have him turn heel, maybe he turns on his best friend and steals his title or something mm-hmm. really dastardly, and
maybe then, she changes her hair color
or you change your hair color to blue because everyone knows that's super evil.
Yeah.
but so you go through your heel turn or vice versa, face turn, and then typically, because most commonly you have the turn, like, so no one expects it. You just look the way you do. After the turn, your following week of television or what have you, that's when you can show your repackaging. Maybe you have new attire, new wrestling gear. Maybe mm-hmm. you'll have a new theme music to come out to. That's always my favorite. Yeah. But
you have a white streak through your hair. I'm really focused on the hair of people.
It's all about
turns.
The hair for Andrew. Like
that's certainly what it was for.
But
Seth
what
Rollins.
Did you do to the hair?
Yeah, exactly. You took Bobby Roode and gave him Robert back and gave him a mustache. Like that's like. Those are some of the immediate repackages, but it isn't always so immediate. A lot of times it is someone either taking time off for an injury and then coming mm-hmm. back with a new character, or because they are stale, you just give them time off regardless.
Yeah.
And you say, let's give the audience time to forget about you so that we can really reestablish something.
And that's
new.
That's really the key to like a good repackaging, or really even just like giving someone time away or something about that. It's out of sight, out of mind. You want, if someone is getting stale, you want to take them away long enough for the audience to kind of forget about them. Mm-hmm. So when they do come back, there's an immediate excitement of like, oh wait, this guy who I completely forgot about is back. That's awesome.
Yeah. There's a third kind of, reason or way that someone is repackaged to that we see much less now, but was a really big staple of the 90s. And that is, repackaging because of the loss of intellectual property, or because they created one character, one promotion, moved to another promotion, and they wanted to start fresh and create something different. And like, without that, you don't get Mick Foley as Mankind, you know?
Yeah.
But I feel like for every Mick Foley, there is a, like, you know, the biggest star in Mexican wrestling, Conan, becoming Max Moon, you know? But I think you see that happen less and less now, because WWE definitely seems to be interested in the existing intellectual property of people coming off the independent scene.
So sometimes I think you have to cross this like imaginary threshold in their mind of like whose name value is worth it. Like a guy like Adam Cole comes in and gets to keep his name Adam Cole because that's the established name, and like we, people know him as that, so we want to be able to market that. But then you have guys like who's granted was not as popular at the time, like Aleister Black, who wrestled on the indies as Tommy End, but when they brought him in, they changed his name to Aleister Black, which at the time I was very not cool with, but now like I've grown to like it, and it fits his character. Yeah. But
it seems like there was a particular time though where they really changed it up, because I look at,
well, they've changed even a lot of recent ones, because the one I'm thinking of is Trevor Lee just came from Impact, and they changed his name to something weird. I don't know. something to say, like, that sounds like a guy from North Carolina.
There was a time when they were first gobbling up independent people for NXT, and suddenly Kevin Steen is Kevin Owens, El Generico is Sami Zayn, Kenta is Hideo Itami, and Prince Devitt is Finn Balor.
Yep.
And then a week later, Samoa Joe is Samoa Joe. And I feel like with him and AJ Styles coming in around the same time, that from like then on out, there has been kind of a more relaxed, for the most part, not for everybody, but a more relaxed of like, well, maybe we should really, really like keep these people how they are, you know.
Cameron Grimes.
Cameron Grimes.
That is Trevor Lee's new name. Is that?
Well, they also have Keith Lee, so you can't have too many.
Too many Lees, I guess.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Cameron Grimes. Yeah. Oh, I love that.
What are some ways to think about this concept of repackaging outside of wrestling? Because it is something that happens in entertainment a lot. That may it may be easier to help the listener
kind of the understanding.
Grasp it. Yeah.
Because like the main idea for repackaging, it's thinking in the terms of like professional wrestling being a performance, it's finding a new character for your actor, for your talent. To something to, you know, like get excitement and like a new coat of paint, essentially. So things, the most common one, and it's not, I guess, not necessarily repackaging the way you think about it, but like in superhero movies, there's 10 different people have played Batman.
Yeah.
Every time they
and
cast
Tyler's
a new actor,
gonna name them all in chronological order.
Oh boy,
right
here
now.
We go. Okay. Adam West, Michael Keaton, Val Kilmer, George Clooney, Christian Bale, Ben Affleck. And
I think that's it. I think you got it. I guess you also got somewhere. Who did the voice for the animated one that ran
forever? Oh shoot. Yeah, I don't know that guy.
Yeah.
But so that's my Batman knowledge. But anyway,
that was really good. Yeah.
So like superheroes, most commonly when they get recast as a different actor, it's kind of the reverse of repackaging, because you're not necessarily repackaging the character for the actor. You're repackaging mm-hmm. an actor for the character.
Although so, the, although that has happened a few times in WWE as well, where
you mean like fake Diesel? Like
no,
don't,
I didn't.
Don't you come at me with
I
that.
I didn't mean like fake Diesel and fake Razor Ramon and fake Undertaker, but I guess those are what I'm saying as well. I was going to say someone like Sin Cara, who they've had multiple performers under that mask, and in TNA they had Suicide, which was a masked character who multiple people played, from Christopher Daniels to Frankie Kazarian to TJP, who all have very different body types.
Yes,
all were Suicide at one point or another. I think like the Patriot as well, or like Mr. Wrestling were also people. I guess without a mask, that no one has really done this. But I guess you have had gimmicks passed down from people to people. I think of Ric Flair as someone now who we think of when we think of the Nature Boy gimmick, but he won that from Buddy Rogers, Nature Boy Buddy Rogers, who was a big star for a long time before that. And you've had Ric Flair try to pass on that gimmick multiple times to AJ Styles, who tried to give it to with the robes and TNA. He tried to give it to The Miz when The Miz was doing the figure four leg lock
for a
while. So I guess it hasn't worked as well recently, but you still do have monikers like that kind of passed on from one person to another.
Yeah, definitely. But so like in a sense, like superhero things like that, that's a sense of repackaging every time you have a different version of Batman or Superman or Spider-Man or what have you. Other ones, like notable ones, if any of you guys are Doctor Who fans, Doctor Who, the without spoiling too much, the premise of the thing is he's an alien who can what's the word I'm looking for?
Change forms.
Not necessarily change forms.
Likeness.
He can change likeness, where like when he gets close to death, he like revives himself, but as a new person, like looking person, but he's still the same like personality. But like that's in a sense repackaging. Like every time that they have a new Doctor Who come around, it's still the same character who's intended to have the same psyche, same brain, but just under a different guise.
Yeah.
And
And
like that is a repackaging. It's going to have a different feel to the show. It's going to bring a different kind of audience to watch as well.
Doctor Who's really good about that, about really changing everything, not just changing the Doctor. To stay British, someone like James Bond, although I argue that those all are in fact different people, and that they just keep that code name in British intelligence and like keep passing it on. That's my own theory
about James Bond. Though. I like
that. it's specifically like John Doe, and that it is just like passed on to a new James Bond every time. But that's just how I like to think about it. I think we're going to get to your fun example here in a second, but there's also like you think of people who have reimagined their career. I think that is a repackage as well for a lot of people. You think of like someone like Sean Penn, who at the start of his career was Jeff Spicoli, was this comedic actor, and then very suddenly was like really serious actor person. More recently, I guess someone like Donald Glover, who starts out as a comedy writer and a stand-up and sketch guy, and then rebrands himself as Childish Gambino, and like the style of his performance changes vastly.
So a guy like Robert Downey Jr. even.
Oh my God,
starting like out his career, he was, you know, I think it in a weird way, his repackaging was more just like him as a person rather than his career.
Of like teen star, playboy, reformed, you know, convict. And then leading man again.
Exactly.
Really kind of crazy.
My favorite one, though.
Yep, mine too.
This is a deep cut. I don't know if a lot of people are going to know this, but my favorite example of this was the time that the music world was graced with the presence of one Chris Gaines.
Yes.
Now, who is Chris Gaines, you might be asking? Well, the answer is Garth Brooks.
Yes.
this was Garth Brooks, the famous country singer, repackaged himself as Chris Gaines. This was his leap into like the world of alternative music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the album cover for Chris Gaines's like album, it kind of looks like for the wrestling fans, it looks like Jimmy Jacobs. Kind of,
yeah,
like that's
definitely.
Exactly.
That's
he's
totally
got this
it.
Long hair and this like soul patch and stuff. And
yeah, definitely a Jimmy Jacobs.
Yeah, it's also fair to say, was there only one Chris Gaines album?
I guarantee there had to be only one. There's no way they let him get away with that twice.
Yeah, it did lead to one of the kind of fun kayfabe moments in actual entertainment, where Garth Brooks was the host of SNL and Chris Gaines was the musical act, and they treated it as if they were two different people.
Oh, I love it. So did he get to introduce himself?
I believe he did. I think they did a thing where they filmed him beforehand, being like, yeah, "Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Gaines," and then in the pan, did some trick photography, and then he was.
Oh, that's
Chris
great.
Gaines. Yeah, so I guess it hasn't worked as well in real life, the repackaging. But there are definitely people who start their career being famous for one thing and then are able to do a sea change. And I guess that is the real goal in wrestling of repackaging, is to create a sea change where the new thing is much more is like the top headline in the person's obituary rather than the first thing. Not to make it morbid there. So should we start with the best repackages of all time or the worst repackages?
Let's start with the best ones.
Yeah.
Just that when I was thinking about it when we were writing this run sheet, generally, repackaging is usually for the better.
Mm-hmm.
And that I think it's a very easy thing to do, just that you're only going to repackage someone because the previous gimmick isn't working. So typically it's anything new is going to do a little better than the thing that wasn't working. But, a lot of times there's, when you repackage, like it can exceed all expectations.
Yeah.
Not like the top of the list, but like some of my favorite ones, like the of most recent ones, when Neville went to Mean Neville when he was still in WWE, and now that he's in the indies, he went to his previous name of Pac, the Bastard Pac.
Yeah, I like the moniker of the Bastard in particular. I think that like we knew the like King of the Cruiserweights, and that was fine. It's just like, we're just like, oh, it's just heel Neville. But the Bastard really kind of gave a credibility to that character. Because I hear that and I don't think of Bastard in like a alternative, like he's a bad word kind of thing, but more of like a Shakespearean sense, actually, of like someone who feels they have been overlooked of their nobility. And I feel like that is a real nuanced thing for this guy to have. But that is 100% what I get from him.
And he's so good at that character. That's a beautiful thing about repackaging, is sometimes through repackaging someone and giving them this brand new gimmick, you're giving them the opportunity to display a set of skills that maybe we never saw with their previous character. Neville, when he was, you know, just the man that gravity forgot, and Adrian Neville, he was this smiley baby face who wore a cape and was like kind of a Mighty Mouse gimmick.
Yeah.
And like, he didn't excel under that gimmick by any means, but like he was fine.
He excelled in spite of it. Honestly,
he excelled
because he's a good performer. Yeah.
Yes. But when he was given, you know, the go ahead to make this heel turn, we saw suddenly a whole side of the performer that we have never seen before. And it was amazing. I remember the first like couple weeks of him doing the Mean Neville King of the Cruiserweights gimmick. It was incredible. He was like the talk of the wrestling world. It was amazing. He was like top heel in the business. It was amazing.
Who else would you put up there? I guess that we were talking about recent ones. So I'll go with recent. There's been two amazing subtle recent. Well, I guess one is subtle. One is not. Is Bray Wyatt recently, who's been repackaged or like reshifted a number of times.
Yes.
The new Bray Wyatt is clearly working right now.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And that is, it's an overhaul without having to be an overhaul, with him going from, you know, horror movie hillbilly to horror movie, kids show host slash like demon.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny because like with the originally Bray Wyatt, Wyndham Rotunda, the man, he wrestled under a gimmick Husky Harris.
Oh yeah, I guess he's been repackaged a few times.
Yeah, when he was in NXT, and Husky Harris was by all means a completely just forgettable guy. He was just, you know, plain wrestler dude. Like, he didn't really have a gimmick. He was just a guy who wrestled. Mm-hmm. And so that first repackaging when he was still in NXT and he got the Bray Wyatt gimmick, he was like a Deliverance-esque, yeah, like cult leader, essentially.
Max Cady from Cape Fear, I know, was another person, mm-hmm, they looked at a lot because he had the like Bayou kind, yeah, of accent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that, the initial repackaging to the Bray Wyatt character was like the most abrupt one. And where this one, the new Fiend character that he's doing, I wouldn't say so much of as a repackaging, but it is like a shifting, like you said, where it's still that Bray Wyatt character and like the idea behind it, but it's a new version of it, something that we haven't seen yet.
I think another one that happened recently, that was the subtle one I was talking about, is the new Daniel Bryan. And
yeah,
I think that what makes both the new Daniel Bryan is, like, we've talked about him as environmental terrorist, kind of. That him and this new Bray Wyatt, Bray Wyatt, both work because they actually do make reference to their old gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not something that classic repackaging does at all. The worst thing that could happen is like referencing that this guy used to be this other guy.
Yeah.
But with the new Bray Wyatt, he came out holding a severed head of himself as a lantern. And yeah, I think that was a bold thing that really worked out and didn't insult the audience's intelligence. I think, mm-hmm, that's why those have worked.
Yeah.
But I guess in the past, looking back, what are the biggest, most successful totem pole examples of repackaging?
Yeah. Number one for me, and just because you have to think of the impact of this character, would be Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't always Stone Cold Steve Austin. Steve Austin, when he was wrestling before that, had a number of gimmicks.
Actually pretty good.
the Hollywood Blondes,
yeah,
was one of my favorite ones. That was a great one. Yeah. Didn't he do like a weird California accent?
Yeah, Steve Austin, who younger had a bunch of luscious blonde hair,
gorgeous long blonde hair,
made this idea of him being like a movie star, wannabe surfer kind of California erudite kind of guy with, mm-hmm, Brian Pillman, and
yeah,
that worked surprisingly.
The Hollywood Blondes, and then he repackaged into the Ringmaster, which is, I mean, not too far off from his Stone Cold gimmick, but, I mean, it definitely farther away from the Hollywood Blondes.
Yeah. I mean, it comes down to the Triple H story we told at the top of the show of, like, I want to be someone who's real with a real name.
Yeah.
And even if Stone Cold Steve Austin is Stone Cold Steve Austin, if he's the Ringmaster, then he's not a real person.
Yeah, he's not a person. He's a gimmick.
Yeah.
And then that eventually led to Stone Cold Steve Austin, arguably the most prolific wrestler in the history of the business.
Yeah. Shined the brightest for a short amount of time.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's, for me, the number one would have to be Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have some really great ones that, They're funny when you try to think in retrospect of like their previous character. One of my favorites is Glenn Jacobs, who you know is Kane.
Yes.
Today, wasn't always Kane when,
nope,
he was originally, when he debuted, was Isaac Yankum.
Oh, wait, Tyler, Doctor Isaac Yankum. He didn't go to in 10 years of dental wrestling school for you not to call him Doctor.
You are absolutely right. I do apologize, Doctor, yeah, Isaac Yankum.
Yeah, DDS.
DDS. He was an evil dentist, essentially.
Who had terrible teeth, if
terrible
I remember,
teeth.
Too. Yeah.
But that was one of my favorites. And then they took him away, repackaged him as Big Red Machine, and then that's what he's been for the last 20-some years.
And he's been good at making Kane a bunch of different characters as well.
Yeah, yeah. And because even that's the thing, I mean, that's the telltale sign of a great performer is even though if you give them a gimmick that seems very constrictive, being able to, you know, evolve that character over time. Mm-hmm. When Kane debuted, he was just a silent, like, big monster guy. Yeah. Like he didn't even speak. Like that was Kane. Mm-hmm. But now if you think in retrospect, all the crazy storylines that Kane's gone through.
Yeah, Kane really, Glenn Jacobs really grew into being both a good comedy wrestler, which is mm-hmm. weird, and like could be very serious and deliver some promos and actually act when yeah. called upon.
Yeah. What's a notable one that you can think of?
The notable one for me is the opposite of the going from a real person name, or sorry, a fake name to a real person name. And it's formerly Rocky Maivia, who had all the tools, but mm-hmm. just wasn't connecting because he wasn't really anything. Turning up the arrogance and becoming The Rock.
Yep.
And I think he still is that. In a sense, even in his personal life now, yeah. every day he is The Rock. And like, I mean, I think there's, I really feel like Steve Austin would have forced his way through, even if he had still had to be the ringmaster. I yeah. think that The Rock could have easily flashed out within like a year as Rocky Maivia being booed, even though he's more athletic than everybody. And he could have just been like, nah, I tried this. I don't want to do it anymore.
Mm.
So I think that without that gimmick, I don't think that Dwayne Johnson would have made it as a wrestler. I still think he would have made it in life. But
yeah,
I
mean,
yeah,
he's just a talented, like, handsome dude. Like, I'm sure he'd have been fine.
But I think, you know, whoever, I think it's Brian Gewirtz, who was his, like, personal writer, whoever first said, like, hey, you should start referring to yourself in the third person, that was the smartest person in the room. Because that is literally all the repackaging that he needed to then create The Rock as a new character. So that, I think, is the most successful. You've also got some ones of people going from like the worst gimmicks to then taking another bad idea and making it good instead. Mm-hmm. I think of Papa Shango.
Yeah.
Some people really like and some people don't like, then becoming the Godfather.
Which is a controversial character in itself.
Yeah, wow. He played two really controversial characters yeah. now that I think about it. And then The Good Father, which I appreciate, even
yes.
though people didn't like that. So he went from a racist jungle stereotype to a pimp to a reformed pimp.
Yes.
Maybe I should have kept that for worse repackaging.
But he was still inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame as
that
the
is
pimp,
true.
Though. So.
I think of someone like Bradshaw, who was a perennial mid-carder, was always like in a tag team or mm-hmm. like a, I guess it was like a for-hire guy for a while. Sometimes he was an acolyte. He never really had a whole lot about him specifically mm-hmm. that was interesting. And then kind of took his actual appearances on Fox like news business shows mm-hmm. and created a like Bush era Republican character that became JBL and that mm-hmm. became what he, no one's going to remember the APA even.
No. Yeah. That's a great example. I'd forgot about JBL.
Yeah. That's because we like to try to forget about JBL. I feel like but JBL yeah. as a heel character really worked.
Oh yes.
In a way
did.
That Bradshaw never really mm-mm. did. Are there any other big ones that you had in mind?
And so I do have an honorable mention, and this mm-hmm. one isn't necessarily for any specific repackaging, but just because the guy is a damn virtuoso when it comes to this, it's got to be Chris Jericho.
Yeah, Chris Jericho, even though his name has always been Chris Jericho, he reinvents himself every like year.
Every
like.
Year,
a totally
much,
different
yeah.
character. Mm-hmm. I think someone else who should kind of be given that credit is who really takes a lot of swings, like big swings, is Matt Hardy. I think
oh, yeah.
always really, even before the broken gimmick and stuff
when
like
he,
that.
When he just went to, you know, version one and...
Yeah, version one is a really underrated gimmick of just mm-hmm. being like a pre self-help craze, self-help, like, actualized yeah. kind of guy. I think the stuff he did in Ring of Honor, both as, like, Matt Hardy can't die on the angelic
yeah.
Diablo, something like that, was good. And then also him as, like, the I'm above everyone in Ring of Honor gimmicks mm-hmm. were really good as well. I think he is someone who's always known how to create something new and repackage. And I feel like the difference with him and Chris Jericho is that they feel like they really drove the repackaging as opposed to being handed a character.
Yeah, rather than being handed a character, like, this is your new character, they mm-hmm. created a new character for themselves.
But there's something to be said for people who can do that well, too, who could be handed something new and make it work. And I think mm-hmm. of someone... like, one of the best ever, Sting, was given two gimmicks that really shouldn't have worked and made both of them work, I think.
Yeah.
As, like, the face-painted surfer, and then as the Brandon Lee-inspired The Crow, which I think was Scott Hall's idea, if I'm getting this correct.
Was
I think
the Crow gimmick?
Yeah, and he was like, have you seen actually. This movie, The Crow? It's really cool, and you could do this thing, and that became... the defining way that people think about Sting when he had already had a Hall of Fame career before that. And you get someone like the Sandman. I mean, another person who starts out as a surfer and yeah. then turns into...
oh, wow, I forgot that. Yes,
a beer drink. Basically, gimmick. If you're given a surfer as your gimmick...
you're going to get repackaged.
You're going to get repackaged into something much better, it seems like. And a few others, I guess I'll run through. The Tasmaniac just turning into Taz, going from a cartoon character to an MMA fighter before people knew what MMA fighters were. I think that's mm-hmm. an amazing repackage. Hollywood Hulk Hogan is...
yeah.
Gave him another 10 years to his career that he didn't need
absolutely.
Or deserve. but, you know, just that's the simple act of turning him from face to heel and giving him an aftershave. Or in like yeah. 5 o'clock shadow did everything. But those are all the good ones. Tyler, who are the worst of the worst? Who went from something kind of good to something terrible?
Oh man, the worst of the worst. So when we started with the best, typically repackaging is for the better. Sometimes not so much.
mm-hmm.
I had to like really like kind of think about some of these. Where it was really like repackaging them was just the worst thing for their career. It's the one that I immediately thought of, but it doesn't necessarily count, I don't think, because he never wrestled in WWE as his previous character, but a wrestler by the name of Hector Guerrero, who's the brother to
Eddie
Guerrero.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even register this as repackaging.
I don't think like necessarily he ever really wrestled in WWE as Hector Guerrero or
no,
whatever he
I
might have wrestled as
did.
In Mexico, but they repackaged this poor man as a character called the Gobbledygooker.
Yeah,
which was literally Hector in like a giant turkey suit that hatched from a giant egg on yeah. television.
I think he wrestled one match as
they did. It was the debut. Like they had this ridiculous storyline where there was this giant egg like on the ramp or ringside mm-hmm. or whatever for weeks, and like they kept waiting for it to hatch, and then like it finally hatched, and like
at
I don't
Survivor
know why
series. Yeah,
I don't know why anyone thought that anything will come out of this egg besides a giant turkey. Like I don't know why anyone thought like, oh, it could be anything in there. No, it's a giant turkey. And so he was in the turkey suit like when it came out, and everyone just was really like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, which is really sad because Hector Guerrero is the patriarch of one of the, you know, biggest wrestling families and was a really
yeah.
good wrestler himself. Yeah, if you get packaged
so that was,
into a
that was
turkey
the first
or
one
a
that
bird,
came to me, I was like, that might be the worst repackaging in history.
You're in trouble if you become a bird. Same also with Terry Taylor, who became the Red Rooster. And he just had like a little thing on his head. He didn't have a full turkey costume, but
yeah.
it still did not work. wow, that's a really good one. I'm shocked that I didn't think of that one. A lot of the people that I looked at were people who already were established as something that did work and mm-hmm. just became, I guess, stale.
Mm-hmm.
And then did something, was repackaged into something terrible, and then we all remembered, like, oh yeah, we really like how they were before, and then they returned to that and we're fine. I think of someone like the Reverend Devon, who Devon Dudley, amazing tag team wrestler. Yeah. They break up Bubba and Devon turns into a priest who passes around a hat to get fans money at ringside.
Man.
I think this lasted for like 3 months and that's it.
Yeah,
it did not work. And I think I imagine it only happened because his gimmick catchphrase was to say testify. Mm-hmm. But man, you get into really muddy waters when you have someone as like an evil priest.
That's a tough gimmick to play, or at least like when you think about like the large demographic of the pro wrestling audience back in the day. So
yeah, I guess it is funny to see him taking fans' money literally as like please offered up to the collection plate.
Yeah.
But
I hope he got
beyond
to keep that money.
I think he did.
Paid for gas to get to the next arena.
He also had his demon deacon, who later became Dave Bautista.
Well.
So two repackages there of
that's
people who are
cut.
Hall of Famers who for a few short months were something terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
I also think of someone. Mm-hmm, you got
there's
it.
I was going to say there's a few like repackages that I think I don't remember fondly. Like at the time, I think I hated them, but like in retrospect, they were like a good idea. Like, cause, and this was when I was like really, you know, embracing the kayfabe aspect. When one that immediately comes to mind was when the Hurricane was repackaged as just Gregory Helms.
Yeah, actually, and you're right. In retrospect, that one's way better.
Like I hated it at the time because the Hurricane was a great character. He was entertaining. He was funny. He was great. And then they repackaged him into super serious Gregory Helms, who was a heel, and he was just gonna win. But he then went on to like be one of the longest reigning cruiserweight champions of all time. So
yeah, he gave that belt credibility towards the end when it didn't have any.
Absolutely.
Speaking of really great matches, though, Ali did just defeat Buddy Murphy, so he's going on to the next round.
Wow, nice. That was probably a great match too.
It was. If nice. I wasn't listening, it's because I was looking at that. there's also people who are legends who have been repackaged to characters so bad and that they are almost immediately pulled and brought back to their original gimmick. So we got a few weeks of someone named Kerwin White. Do you remember Kerwin White?
The name is familiar, but I'm blanking on who this was.
Kerwin White was another member of the Guerrero family, Chavo Guerrero, was repackaged into Kerwin White in the early 2000s, and he was tired of being Mexican, I guess, and his gimmick was that he was just a basic, like, middle-aged white dude who would drive to the ring in a golf cart and wear, like, frat shorts and, like, cardigans.
Oh, my
and
God.
And Dolph Ziggler was his caddy.
Wow. I, like, vaguely remember this.
Yeah.
Oh,
if
my
you're,
God.
If you're at home saying, that sounds really offensive, it was.
It was.
and it was terrible, and that's why that got erased very quickly. But Kerwin White, what subtlety in the name of that character as well. That's one that's worth going back and watching his vignettes of him playing golf. I also think of someone who I feel like WWE gets in the way sometimes of someone making it work and repackaging themselves, and then they kind of screw it up. So you had Matt Bloom, who's now the head trainer of NXT. He was a lot of different gimmicks in WWE. He was Albert. He was Prince Albert. He was A-Train.
A-Train. Tensai.
Well, that Tensai is what I want to get to because he leaves WWE and goes to New Japan as Giant Bernard, as just like a really big American scary dude. And that works. And it goes so well that WWE rehires Matt Bloom in the twilight of his career to become the new supervillain for John Cena. And they debut him, and he's Lord Tensai. How would you describe Lord Tensai?
Oh, my God. Just offensive.
This is another white guy with, like, Japanese lettering on him and a weird like ninja hood, and he's doing ninja
moves. He didn't like do an accent or anything, did he?
He didn't talk.
Oh, thank God. But yeah, it was it was just one of those situations of WWE like kind of having just really backwards booking where this guy goes to Japan and succeeds wrestling over there, but with a very Americanized gimmick. But because they like he was wrestling in Japan or whatever, like WWE was like, oh, well, we'll bring him because maybe people know he was wrestling in Japan, so let's bring him back, but with this new Japanese inspired gimmick. And it was just like, that's not necessary, man.
And then they repackaged Lord Tensai to then go with another repackaged person, Clay Brodus, and they become the Funkasaurus and Sweet Tea, and they become Big Guys Who Dance.
Oh my god, yeah.
And then Matt Bloom was like, you know what? I would like to be the head trainer of NXT instead of continuing to wrestle.
Yeah, I don't think I want a chance going through another repackaging.
Yeah. Are there any other big, terrible repackages you want to... There are so many, honestly.
There are so many.
They're lost to time.
Yeah, yeah. I think I'm good on it. You guys get the point.
I think one more I want to throw in there then is Tim White, a referee being repackaged as a guy who likes to commit suicide.
Oh my god.
Is maybe one of the worst repackaging and worst characters ever in WWE history.
That's terrible.
And if you're asking like how that worked within kayfabe, I don't think they ever really figured it out, because it was for a few months every week on SmackDown he would kill himself.
Ugh.
And he would just like die. And then it was like someone had been watching South Park and was like, what if we put Kenny?
What if we had a Kenny character?
Yeah. Which really did not work.
No, that is not good at all. This one actually might be controversial because a lot of people love this character.
Mm-hmm.
But when they repackaged The Undertaker into the American Badass.
Oh, no, I think that sucked. I think
I hated that so much. But not just because they turned like badass Undertaker, this undead cowboy wizard, into like just a biker dude. Like at the time, I think what bothered me more than anything was the thought of, okay, well, how exactly are you going to turn him back into the old Undertaker now?
Yeah.
Because now, according to WWE canon, he's an undead wizard who sometimes just wants to be a biker.
Sometimes he likes Kid Rock.
Sometimes he really likes Kid Rock and Limp Bizkit.
Yeah, I think the way that they did bring him back was they kept him off TV for over a year.
He was gone for a while, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was off right after WrestleMania 19 and then came back at WrestleMania 20 against his brother Kane. So they had to remind you of Kane's gimmick too. They had to kind of repackage both of them and to say, like, remember, this is why we liked them. And that's when The Undertaker came back to the undead wizard that we know and love.
Yes, that we know and love.
A few others I'll throw out there for people to Google because we're running out of time. Anyone that Junior Fatu played, and that's Make a Difference Fatu, the Sultan, and then eventually Rikishi and Bad Man Rikishi. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You got Mike Awesome becoming the fat chick Thriller and that 70s guy in WCW, which are both equally bad. Shane Douglas, I mean, ruins his career by leaving ECW in his height to becoming Dean Douglas, who's an evil Dean.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think one very contemporary one is Leva Bates, most fondly remembered
Pants.
As Blue Pants in NXT, now being the librarian in AEW.
Yeah, yeah.
Depending on who you ask who the librarian is, but she's definitely one of them. Yeah. So those were a lot of bad gimmicks. With the remaining time that we've got, Tyler and I thought it would be fun if we looked at some fantasy booking. And we looked at who is on the roster right now and who is prime for a repackaging and how we would do it. So I've got a list of a few. I don't guarantee that any of these are good ideas.
Okay.
Tyler, do you want to go first? Do you have some of your own as well?
So I've been playing around with some ideas. Some of them I think are genuinely needed. Some of them are kind of just me wanting something new. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'll start with my first one, and this is really just like a kind of like a personal want rather than need. But God, I would love to repackage Seth Rollins. I think Seth is, he's great, like, at his gimmick right now, but something about Seth Rollins just feels stale to me, and quite frankly has always felt stale since, like, the Architect days.
Yeah.
And I think he just needs something new. Like, he's our Universal Champion. He just beat Brock Lesnar pretty much legit. The most legit win someone's got over Brock Lesnar since Goldberg. And I think if we want to capitalize on that, like, momentum that he has, like, give me something new to work with here, Seth. Like, maybe let's make a heel turn. Maybe him and Becky make a cool heel turn and, like, have some weird gimmick. I don't really have, like, an idea for a gimmick. I was playing around with the idea, like, maybe we do, like, some weird supernatural thing, but maybe not. I don't know if Seth's got the acting chops for that.
I think he could pull that off, honestly. I think he's wanted to lean into a more comic booky type character. I think people really liked him with the White Walker lenses on, and he could just do something kind of like that.
Cool, yeah.
I mean, you could pair him up with Aleister Black, and go back to being Tyler Black, and then
that's
just the Blacks.
Don't call him the Blacks.
Yeah, I won't call him that. But I think you're right. He's someone who could do with another layer added to his character.
Or I think he needs something fresh.
They could lean back into the Architect and really kind of refine what that means.
Yeah.
I think that would be nice.
Definitely. What are you thinking? What you got?
Well, the first one I had is another, like, slight adjustment. We'll ease into the really crazy total repackages. Mm-hmm. And this is someone who I think has been doing well, but can be doing better. And this is Buddy Murphy. Buddy Murphy's general purpose right now on SmackDown is to get really good matches out of people and then lose them.
Yeah.
And that's great, except for the fact that he loses every week. So at a certain point, it's going to be tough for him to make other people look good, because you're going to know he's going to lose every time that he steps in the ring. So I think that they should really lean into him as Murph and lean into the idea of Murphy's Law and start having him lose matches out of, like, nowhere, out of, like, the weirdest, like, the Murphy's Law, of course, being anything that can happen will happen.
Yeah.
And just having him lose in a bunch of weird ways and have it be like he's got, like, bad juju on him right now. Bad luck. And he's
like now I'm just thinking of, like, silly ways that he can lose.
Yeah. So, like, not like the Curt Hawkins thing where he just was so bad he can't win. This is he is so good, but the universe is literally
the universe
who he's in a feud
does not
with.
Want him to win. I like this. I really like this gimmick.
I think that he could still fulfill his role of, like, having really good matches and making people look good, and then it would still be furthering his own, like, arc as well in the meantime.
Yeah. I really like that. Now I'm just trying to, like, think of the many ways that you could have a series of unfortunate events for him.
I think you have, like, you make up that, like, each wrestler has to have, like, a practicing wrestler's license and his, like, expired, like, the day before a win, and he gets it, like, taken away, and, like,
that's a good one.
All this kind of stuff. Yeah.
I was thinking something like he has, like, a great match and, like, hits Murphy's Law, goes for the cover, and, like, the ref, like, throws out his shoulder on the two count and can't count three for him.
Yeah, that's perfect. I think that they should do this. This is a great idea.
This is great. I love
WWE,
it.
WWE, if you're hiring.
Oh, man.
What's your next one you got?
So I have another one. This one I feel is a need rather than a want.
Mm-hmm.
I think Finn Balor needs a repackaging. Now, I don't think that necessarily we need a full new character, new name and everything, but something more akin to a shifting, kind of like the Bray Wyatt-esque or Chris Jericho-esque, something like that. And mostly this is just my way to fantasy book Finn Balor reuniting with the Good Brothers and AJ Styles and forming the club. It's just my way to fantasy book that, but I really think it's needed. Finn's great. Like, he's so good in ring, and, like, he already has a great character, but I think giving him something to work with could really, I think, allow him to display this talent that WWE hasn't allowed him to show yet.
Yeah.
Specifically, him being a heel. Finn Balor has not been a heel in WWE yet. He was a face when he came into NXT. He was face when he debuted on main roster. He's been a face since.
Yeah.
Give that man a heel turn. Let him show you how entertaining he can be as a bad guy, like he was in New Japan as Prince Devitt. Like, that's some of his best work, was him being that bastard heel. It was great.
Mm-hmm. I think you could do something actually similar to what they did with Sting with the Crow, where like Finn Balor has excelled in the ring, but not out of the ring on the main roster.
Mm-hmm.
He's not been a great defined character, great with the mic.
Yeah, he's still he's not great with the mic, but so, he's far more entertaining as a heel on the mic.
So make him not talk for a year. Make him select to be silent and make him come in and out of arenas and not really be in matches with people, and change from Balor Club is for everyone to Balor Club is for no one. And he is like this brooding lone wolf type guy, and we don't know why, and see how long you can keep that going until we have to explain why. Because if you can get him over without him having to get back into the ring, then he's great. And that's what's worked for Bray Wyatt, is that he was over before he came back into the ring. Yeah.
The Fiend has had one match.
Yeah, and it was great. This is a bad idea.
Okay.
Because I know we talked about how Ric Flair worked taking the Nature Boy from Buddy Rogers, but like it hasn't worked when they've tried to pass it to other people. But what if we try to pass on the Nature Boy to Andrade, now that he is a Flair de facto, and they just do it as like a Spanish twist rather than a straight impersonation?
I was just thinking that. I really like that.
And he's Chico de la Naturaleza. And he is
Chico Natural.
Yeah. And I think that that's why the Nature Boy and AJ Styles and Miz didn't work, because they just tried to do it like exactly make them look like the Nature Boy.
But that would, oh man, that's such a good idea. Because then you could also work like the real life like relationship with Charlotte Flair, and it's brilliant.
Yeah, I think that's a really fun one.
That would be super good. Oh man, I'm so invested in our fantasy booking.
what's the next one you got on there?
The next one, so I haven't put as much thought into this one, but it's more just kind of like a want. I don't think she needs it, but like, I'd really like to see Bayley make a heel turn.
Mm-hmm.
Just that, I think with her character, it's one of those characters where a heel turn would be extremely difficult.
Yeah.
Just like given like the basis of her character, and specifically the audience that her character appeals to. It's mostly like younger kids, younger girls specifically. And I know WWE wouldn't want to alienate that demographic by having the person they relate to most, like, you know, turning bad guy on them. But God, I would just really love to see a heel Bayley and see kind of what direction they could go in, what she could bring to that character. I'd be super curious to see, but I'm worried she has the John Cena effect of they're never gonna turn her heel ever.
Yeah, she's a tough person to do it with, but I think it would really help out someone like Ember Moon, who they're also trying to get over, and they had to have them as face versus face, and it was fine, but like, you're not really gonna get one of those other faces over unless you have another big heel who isn't Charlotte and Alexa for people to fight against. And I guess Bayley, I mean, I would be impressed if she could do it. I'm not sure that she has it in her, honestly.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is the least fleshed out idea that I have.
Okay.
So EC3 is in need of a repackage.
He's in need of something, being used. Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he re-debuts as EC4.
Okay.
And I think what this means is that
he's a time traveler. He is his own son from the future.
Oh, I like that better than what I was going to say. I was going to say that he is even more full of himself. And it's like, I am so good that in matches, like, I'll go for a four count. Like, I only win with a four count instead of a three count.
I love that.
And he does get a bunch of three counts, but doesn't win matches with them because he's too arrogant.
He gets threes and the ref stops counting and he's like, what are you doing?
Go for four. Yeah. I think that would be a really fun thing to do with EC3.
That would be really fun. I do like that. All right. Well, this is a perfect list of ideas for you, WWE. Take notes.
Yeah.
Let us know what you think.
Yeah. Some other people I will say need, although I don't need to go into the whole thing, is I think like Mojo Rawley and Jinder Mahal are two people who could use a little free booking as well.
Yeah, that's fair.
Well, we just did a lot of repackaging there. We're going to have to do this again, like as another like annual thing, like the annual fantasy booking where we just like come up with crazy ideas for people, because I think these were actually good.
Yeah, like some of them were good.
Got it. I want Nature Boy Andrade so bad.
El Chico Natural.
Yeah. Oh my god, that could be so good. So I think that's gonna do it for our episode today. How is Turbo Mansion doing? Do they got any shows coming up?
Nothing in the immediate horizon. We're still working on that second album, man. You know how it is. Again, like I think I told you before, we have a problem of continuing like creating when we shouldn't be.
We're too creative. It's an issue.
Yes, we're too creative. What started as 9 songs turned into 10, turns into 11, and hopefully we're cutting it at that. But I'll hopefully have some better information for you coming up. Well, how's the podcast world going?
It's going good. When you're done listening to this episode, go listen to today's new episode of Harper Audio Presents, where I interview the creators of Puss in Boots, which is a new adaptation of the classic fairy tale. And this is a full casted, full production, original audiobook musical does involve some Broadway veterans in the cast. Some people have been in Newsies and Wicked and a few other shows on Broadway. And it's narrated by Jim Dale, who is a rock star in the audiobook community because he narrated all the Harry Potter books.
He did the Harry Potter? Yes, I did.
You were like, you knew exactly who I was talking about.
I spent many an hour listening to that man.
Yeah. So Jim Dale does all the narration of the fairy tale as well. And he is awesome. He's fantastic. Yeah. Yeah, so that's what we got going on here.
Nice.
The Kayfabe 5000 will return soon. And a reminder, if you want us to answer your questions in that, please submit them to us on our website, muchadowrestling.com, or on Twitter, @adowrestling, or you can email them to us at muchadowrestling@gmail.com, or you can leave it on our Facebook wall, where you can find us as Much Ado About Wrestling. You can find this show on Stitcher, iTunes, or wherever, I guess Apple Podcasts now, or wherever you go to scratch that podcast itch. And while you're there, please leave us a review and give us a rating and tell us how good we are, because we need the constant approval.
Yes, absolutely.
So that's it for now. Before that, I'm going to say I'm going to Atlantic City tomorrow. If they are allowing bets in the sports book on wrestling, is there anything you want me to put money on, Tyler?
Put your money on Roman.
On who to win the King of the Ring. Baron Corbin to win King of the Ring.
Oh man, probably. I wouldn't recommend it, but probably.
All right, so as always, we're gonna leave you in the words of the immortal William Shakespeare: if wrestling be the food of love, fight on.
El Chico Natural!
I thought you were going to be King Booker there.
Oh, I should have, darn.
That's okay. That's all right.